Radio.
The Love God Has For You. A talk by Sister Hilda Scott at the Faith in Action Expo.
Firstly, I want to say thank you very much to Gwen, whom I haven't met yet, and to Christine for this opportunity, for this invitation to be here this afternoon. If I could just get the sun out of my eyes, you'd see a smile on my dial at the privilege of being here. That which I have felt moved to share with you this afternoon is perhaps a little different to what you've been hearing thus far. My bag is prayer. And at the end of the day, it would strike me that absolutely everything we do, everything we're about, must always have that component of the relationship between God and yourself. So, in this, I forgot to ask how long I was supposed to talk. Anyway, look, 20 minutes? Bingo, jump up and down. Not lost for a few thousand words, I could keep going. And having said that, I just lost the track of the initial stuff that's in there. But we'll get over that. At the end of the day, as I just said to you, the important thing is that relationship between yourself and God. And therefore, in my talking to you this afternoon, I'm talking just about precisely that. You and God. And I'm assuming then that you'll be able to put the pieces together yourself for whatever it is that God is saying to you. Right, let us move ahead. I was going to start with this terrific chant, but given the melodious traffic in the background and the terrific plane that's currently going over, we might leave that and just jump straight in. Who is this God that we're on about? Now, obviously, hang on, being a bit vertically challenged here and technologically stupid, I'll just leave it like that. Can you hear me all right? Goodo, excellent. Who is this God? Now, obviously, the perfect picture of the face of God is Jesus himself. And it's terrific to see a T-shirt over there that says, I love JC, I love Jesus Christ. At the end of the day, why is it that Jesus came to us? Didn't he come to us to tell us about the love that the Father has for us? Now, hear me when I'm talking here again. I'm not talking about the love that the Father has for the whole world. I'm talking just about you. At this minute, just focus on you. Jesus came to tell us how much the Father loves us. Jesus came to let us know that you and I do not cry our tears on our own. Jesus came to let us know that no matter what happens to us in life, no matter what happens, our life is never destroyed. And as a friend of mine says, and his plan of love for us is never defeated. Let me tell you this story on account of, because I like telling stories, and you can offer it up for the holy souls, that's really good. I have a cousin, I have 36 cousins, but this particular one cousin, she was born needing a blood transfusion. And when she was born a long, long time ago, because I was only a kid at the time, when she was born, they didn't understand all of that stuff. And the end result, after she was born and she got this blood transfusion, the end product was that she was left deaf and she was only a little baby. Now, as she, I think she got to about two or three, and my aunt and uncle realised something was wrong, so they let off an alarm clock at the back of her head. And that very clearly showed them, because she didn't, Frances did not move. Now, they sought the best advice they could get at the time, and the best advice they could get at the time was that Frances should be sent to a special school for the deaf. Right? Remember, at this stage, she was only three. So they found out about this wonderful school run by the Dominican nuns up in Newcastle for the deaf. My poor aunt got on the train, took her up to Newcastle. Frances slept all the way up there. And when Auntie Dorothy arrived at this school, it was a big old place. It wasn't home. Her brothers and sisters weren't there. There were all these strange people, people she didn't know. And of course, she clung to my aunt. And the sisters, while they were beautiful in those days, the sisters wore habits that came out here. Frances was frightened, and poor Auntie Dorothy had to leave her. You can imagine what that did to her. She walked out of there listening to Frances screaming. Now, the next day, my aunt was just waiting for an appropriate time to ring the school and find out how Frances was. But before she could do that, one of those lovely nuns rang her. And she simply said to her, "Mrs. Scott, you'll be wondering how Frances is." Well, let me tell you, I'll be honest with you. She cried all night. But I want you to know that I sat on the bed and held her, and I cried with her. Now, I was only a kid when I heard that. I've never forgotten it. Because in my life now that I am old, I have come to see that's how God is with you and me. There isn't a tear we cry that he doesn't know about. When life is just too hard for us to take, God sits on the bed and cries with us. And how do we get that message? How do we find that out? We found out that by extension of the wonderful message of love that Jesus came to give us. Now, because I'm on a short time frame here, let me plow ahead without filling that out any further. How do we get to know that Jesus? Well, clearly the very first way that you'll get to know him, and let me say, the ramifications for your work in social justice and anything else come out, it comes out of this relationship. There is no work for social justice or anything else without this relationship, without this understanding. Now, I said to you, clearly you're going to find out about this Jesus, about this God through his word. In the Word, you're going to find out who you are, you're going to find out who God is, and you're going to find out who you are together. Let me just take one instance out of the Gospel that might kind of ram that bit together for you. You'll remember that beautiful story. Jesus, he's got up early, he's gone off to speak to his father, and he's heading into town, and he comes across a leper. Sad, sad. The leper would have been ringing his familiar leper's bell. He would have been calling out, "Unclean, unclean." What a demeaning, horrible thing to ask any human being to do. Unclean. Now, as he came closer to Jesus, what Jesus should have done was actually get out of the way. That's what a proper Jew would have done. And before I go any further there, lest this should just seem to be a little leper that lived a long time ago, hey, don't you and I come across lepers all the time? Like, when was the last time perhaps you made somebody feel like a leper? When was the last time you turned your back on them? Again, let me go down memory lane. I remember as a young teacher, I went to a particular school. I've never forgotten it. It wasn't my school, so I didn't feel like I had any jurisdiction. But to this day, I regret the fact that I did nothing about this. I was in the playground, it was lunchtime, and I saw this young girl, she must have been about 14, I guess, and she was big. A uniform didn't fit her. And even from a distance, I could see it had been a while since she'd had a bath. You could tell. And I watched her. I watched a bunch of girls her age come up. And I watched this poor kid. Hello, pigeons. This poor kid fix her dress and stand like this. I saw the hopeful look on her face. I saw those girls go the other way. Then a bit later, like about a couple minutes later, somebody else came by and the same thing happened. The thing I regret is that I did nothing about it. But it's etched in my memory. That poor kid was treated like a leper. I know very well that the reaction of Jesus to that girl would have been very different to my own. Back to this. So here's this leper coming toward Jesus. And God love him. Jesus does not step to the side. Jesus does not pretend that the leper's not there. Instead, he stands there. And this poor little guy, I imagine, would have gone down just in front of him. And Jesus asked the beautiful question. And can I say this to you? This to you? By the by, if at the end of this you and I don't feel closer to God, then all of this has been a big waste of time. Jesus asked the question of this leper that he's asking of you today. What would you like me to do for you? What would you like me to do for you? As it happens, the little leper said, Master, if you want to, you can make me well again. And Jesus' reply, of course I want to. Now, can I borrow you for a minute? Will you come up here for a minute? Yeah, I know it's embarrassing, but come here just for a tick. You too can offer it up for the holy souls. They're really good. Now, let's say here's the leper. Hello, leper.
Hello.
Such a lovely leper. Now, because I'm vertically challenged, I can't go higher than her and I can't make a kneel, otherwise you won't see her. So you can, what's your name?
Michelle.
Michelle, that's such a nice name for a leper. Observe what Jesus would have done. The leper, Michelle's just said, if you want to, you can make me well again. And the scriptures say that Jesus was moved with compassion. What that meant was the sight of this poor fella broke his heart. And his response, of course I want to. And then what's he do? He touches him. He touches him. Does that frighten you?
No.
No. Indeed not. That's how Jesus would have touched the leper. Here's another thing. This poor fella hasn't been touched in a very long time. To touch a leper was to make yourself ritually unclean. Couldn't turn up in the synagogue after you'd touched a leper. Notice how I'm still hanging on to her? That's what Jesus would have been doing. He couldn't have cared two straws. This here, this reassurance to the leper, was far more important than anything else. Here was the love of God in action. Now, when the little leper then took a look, bingo, look surprised. Can you? Oh, good, show them, show them. Beautiful, well done. Thank you, leper.
Thank you.
I must bring you to the next talk. There's Jesus. Hey, there's the example he puts in front of us. If we're fair dinkum about loving God, expect to identify, expect to be one of and one with the people you are called to serve. expect to pick up your cross. Now, there's that, and there's even more. If you're looking for God, can I beg, can I plead, can I say to you, hey, let not a day go by when you don't have at least a tiny bit of the Word of God in your life. And when the Word, when you read the Word of God, when you take it in, let it change you. Let it shape the way you talk to people. Let it shape even the way you think about people, let alone the way you talk. Oh, yes, I'll do this anyway. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. I'm simply going to speak a couple words of Scripture now. And they're the ones that are meant for you. You just listen. And whichever one grabs you, just thank God for it. Do not be afraid. I am with you. You are precious in my eyes, and I love you. Though your sins are as red as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Okay, just open your eyes. Whatever word grabbed you, let me give you this little clue. Tonight, as you're going to sleep, remember the word you heard just now and just say it over and over and over and over and over again till you fall asleep. I'm too old to lie to you, observe white hair. I promise you, it'll bring God to you in a way that nothing else can. And you'll notice the difference tomorrow. Okay, have the Word in your life if you want a relationship with God. The second thing that you need prayer. So many people, if you kind of talk to them about prayer, you see everything in them go, ugh. Because for so many people, prayer is something boring, something is something you got to do. Hello. And also, for so many people, they're understanding that prayer is all about me. Well, of course, we know that the entire planet is about me. But prayer is all about me and what I do. Where the truth of the matter is, that's not prayer, I'm sorry to tell you. That ain't prayer. There's a line of communication between God and yourself. And you know what? It's happening right at this minute while you're listening to me. You're not aware of it, but that doesn't make the slightest bit of difference. There's blood rushing through your system. Hello, I know you. Yes. I'll catch you after. There's blood rushing through your system right now. You're not aware of it. But fair dinkum, when it stops, you're not going to feel too well at all, are you? And you're breathing right now. You're not aware of it, but it's happening. And when it stops happening, it's all over. God's in communication with this magnificent tree here. Get a load of it. It's right at this minute, it's giving praise to God for being what it is. And yet if God stops being in communication with that tree, it will not exist. That line of communication between yourself and God, that is prayer. And notice, we haven't come in yet, except we're on the tail end. The line of communication between yourself and God, that is prayer. When you and I get moved to talk to God, to pick up the beads, whatever we do, we're only going online. I hope you appreciate that technical language I just used, because that's the only technical language I know. We're simply going online. And let me give you this tip too. There isn't one way to go online. If there are 4,532 ways to say, I love you, then there are that many ways to pray. There's not one. Yeah, and you pick the one that suits you. You know, in any given day, you can go online 1,000 different ways. You can be talking to God 1 minute. You can be praying the rosary another. You can be singing a hymn another. You can be walking down George Street telling God what a wonderful job he's done on the sky. The important thing is not how you do it. It's important that you do it. And you know what? Let me let you in on a little secret here. Hello, here comes the bride and groom. And I've got a feeling bells are going to start pretty soon. Yep. I think we're going to have to call this to a halt. So let me just yell this last thing out at you. Despite all the other stuff that's in that terrific folder that I haven't looked at. Go home and love God. Hear that? Go home and love God. And while you're at it, God is going home to love you. That's all that he's in business for.
That was Sister Hilda Scott with The Love God Has For You. The Faith in Action Expo was organised by the Sydney Archdiocesan Justice and Peace Office and held at the University of Notre Dame in Sydney. For more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.